Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing? Great. Oh, you and my son, he's yearning to learn. Love it. All right. So last week, we talked about a couple things, and I want to go through two questions and see if you remember, right? It's cute. Okay. Review question, right? Where did Moses run away to after killing the Egyptian? Do you remember that? Remember he killed the Egyptian? They caught him. Where did he go from run away from Pharaoh? Where? Starts with an M. Midian, right? Yes. To the land of Midian. He ran over there to get away from that because he killed an Egyptian, right? Now, what did Moses do in the land of Midian now? Now that he was there, what happened at that point? Yes. He became a shepherd. That's actually true too. But in this context, yes.
He helped somebody get water out of the whale.
That is true too. This isn't in the book. Whew! You guys are good. Let me just change that now. In a sense, you're all right. But yes, he lived there for a long time, right? He even married a woman named Zipporah, if I said that right. And he had what? Children. Yes, he had children. So good. Thank you for going into that. So now we're going to go into the next part of this in Exodus. So if anyone can turn with me to Exodus 2, and we're going to look at verses 23 through 25. Exodus 2, verses 23 through 25. And we're going to go into a little more on that. So I'm going to give you three questions to think about. The first question is, who died while Moses was in Midian? So think about that. Who died there? What did people of Israel do in their suffering? When I read you, you'll understand. What did people do in their suffering? And how did God respond to the cries of the Israelites? Okay, think about those three questions. Who died while Moses was in Midian? What did the people of Israel do in their suffering? And how did God respond to the cries of the Israelites? Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and read those verses and we'll go from there. So Exodus 2, 23 through 25. Now it happened in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died. And the sons of Israel sighed because of the slavery, and they cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and God knew them. Pretty simple, right? Cried out to God and God heard them. And that's the idea. God is faithful to remember his covenant people when his people cry out to him. So, have you guys ever forgotten something before? Oh, yes, you have. All of you, even me. So, yeah, people forget things all the time. Some adults may forget that they put their car keys on the table and don't know where it is, or your kid somehow takes it and hides it away from them and forget where it was put. My son's contemplating right now. So before they go anywhere, they must go scrambling. Have you seen anyone like in your house scrambling to go find something? You get that panic, right? Like, I lost my phone, I got to find it. Or I lost my keys, I got to find it. And then like that's the sight, you know. But they go everywhere and they scramble all over the place to find this item. And mine even showed up for events. And they say it would attend because they forgot where they put their keys and could not go anywhere. So you're like, I can't go anywhere. I can't find my keys. So one, God doesn't forget anything. I think we know that. Because he knows everything. Do you know a word that can mean how he knows everything? Starts with an O. Anyone? Omniscient. Yeah, big word, huh? Fun. Omniscient means he just knows everything. Nothing escapes him. Nothing's new to him. Nothing's old. He knows it all. So why then does it say that God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do you think he actually forgot about it? Oh, yeah. Kind of weird, huh? No, he did not. So, did he need to be reminded by the groans and the cries of Israel? Like he heard their cries and God's like, oh, you know what? I remember them now because of their cries. No, of course not, right? So back in Genesis, when the Lord made a special relationship with Abraham called a covenant, he told him that his family would suffer in Egypt for 400 years. And that's Genesis 15, 13. So he already warned them ahead of time, okay? Up to this point in Exodus, that 400 years has been unfolding. Later, we will discover the Lord will bring Israel out of Egypt on exactly the same day the 400 years is complete, which is in Exodus 12:41. So he said it, 400 years, this was the day it was going to be executed. Now, people may forget things from one minute to another, but God does not forget even after hundreds and hundreds of years. Can you imagine remembering something for hundreds and hundreds of years and not forgetting it? Can you imagine even living that long?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Good, I can't. I'd be decrepit. So people forget things hundreds of years, and his plan unfolded exactly as he promised, right to the T. Okay, so the Bible describes God using language and ideas that are familiar to us human beings. So what's that mean? Well, languages help us understand because God is, well, way too great for our minds to understand. Okay, So let me give you an example. So the Bible describes them as having human traits, seeing and hearing, right? God can see everything, knows everything, such and such. But God doesn't really have eyes or ears. Remember, scriptures say he is spirit. You guys remember that verse, that God is spirit? Okay. So yes, so he doesn't have eyes or ears. He is spirit and does not need a body like ours. Now he sees and hears everything that happens without them. You know, when Exodus 2 describes God as remembering, it means he felt sorry for his people. Let me repeat it again. Exodus 2 describes God as remembering. What he means is he felt sorry for his people because of his covenant love. He made a covenant with his people. He hears their groans and he felt sorry for them. So God would make good on his promises and he would put his plan into action without delay. Beginning with the call of his servant, Moses. Yes, God would display his glory causing many to marvel at his power and as he crushed the Egyptians and rescued Israelites. Now, I went ahead and read all that, but I'm going to go back to those questions we talked about before just to bring in a reference. So real quick, who died while Moses was in Midian? Do you remember? Yes.
The king, Pharaoh.
That's right. Yes. Good. You guys are listening. Yes, the king of Egypt died, and that meant that Moses could return to Egypt without worrying about being punished or for killing the Egyptian, right? So he could return back after he died. So what did people of Israel do in their suffering? What did they do? Yes, they groaned and cried out to God for help. That's something we do every day, right? Or we hope we do. Now, and how did God respond to the cries of the Israelites? So they cried out to him. How did God respond? Yes, he heard their groaning and remembered his covenant. Thank you. You guys are great. I love it. So yeah, he looked on them and had concern for them. And that's what I read that scripture before, so those points. And what I read you just now, I'm going to go for another three questions just to wrap it all up. So with what I have just read to y'all about God remembering through his covenant, through his love for his people, how does God's sovereign control, meaning he has control over everything, how does God's sovereign control over history comfort suffering believers? How do we take comfort in God is in control of everything? Huh? Okay. It assures us that God is in what? That's true too, but he's also in control. Yes, he's in control over our suffering, and he's already decided when it will end. You know, we look at the example of Israel, right? The 400 years, he decided when it'll start, and he decided when it was going to end. He was in control of that whole thing, okay? Now, why does the Bible describe God as if he has human traits? Do you know why he does that? Because we know what? He's spirit, so he doesn't have those arms and eyes, but he still, how do we understand that? Well, it's not because God is like humans, but because even though he is spirit, he is also a personal being who shows himself us in a way we can understand him. So we can understand those moments because he comes to us. What a theme, right? God always comes to us. So he came to us in understanding so we can basically understand what he's saying. Now lastly, what does it mean for God to remember his covenant? That's the big one today. Did he forget his people? He did not forget his people. So it means he is ready to carry out the covenant as he promised, and he will take action to do so, right? He didn't forget them. He loves his people, okay? So real quick with prayer, I want to pray for every member of your family to trust more deeply in the faithfulness of God. Sound good? Wonderful. You guys are awesome. Thank you all. Maddie, we got to get you, boy. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll go into worship. So, Father, we just once again thank you for these times that when we cry and cry to you through the suffering and the trials we go through, we know that it's truly in your control. You know, in theory, we shouldn't even have to be in fear and anxiety, yet our human sin nature causes us to be in anxiety as we struggle. But Lord, you are there as we pray to you. We take comfort in you, knowing that everything you've done right down the last second is planned. And we're so grateful for that because we couldn't do it on our own and we never will. And so we're grateful for your spirit. We're grateful for your son who died on the cross for us to save us of our sin and give us a chance in seeing righteousness in you, Lord. And we thank you for these times. It is in your name we pray, amen.